Oh, come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of humankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
What does hope look like? All of our readings for today offer visions of hope. A poem, a song, a letter, and a story written for different people in different situations in different times. Yet all these scriptures characterize hope as a visible, public, shared desire. For centuries, Israel hoped and yearned for the promised Messiah. What God promised and what God gives is a deep, fundamental change in the way that humans relate to each other and to creation. Emmanuel, God with us, remains our hope today. So what does hopelessness look like? Well, a stump would be a fitting image. Dead, dead, dead. An eyesore and nuisance that reminds us of what used to be. Depending on how we date this portion of Isaiah, Jerusalem had recently been war-ravaged and humiliated by either the Babylonians or the Assyrians. Jesse was the father of King David. King David and his dynastic line were believed to be the carrier of God's goodness and God's faithfulness to the world. That dynasty had been crushed, and Jerusalem was in chaos. Into that place of anxiety and fear, Isaiah casts a vision of hope for peace. God's Spirit will come upon God's people and so alter relationships in creation that the lion will lie down with the lamb. That same life-giving, hope-infusing, future-creating Spirit will blow upon that hopeless stump, and that stump will send forth a shoot that will be the hope for all of creation. 19th century American artist Edward Hicks was so captivated by Isaiah's vision of hope that he painted the peaceable kingdom more than 100 times. The animals are all there. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the lion. Hicks gave the animals wonderfully expressive faces that look almost human. Their eyes are big, unnaturally big, wide open, as if they have been startled by something. In fact, that was the artist's intent. Peace is startling. You don't realize hope like this very often. In the middle of the picture is a child, a little boy or girl, and they too look as if they have been startled by this unlikely reality. Imagine yourself painted into the middle of one of Hicks' pictures. Who or what would you be startled to find in the same picture with you? What peaceable vision of hope startles you? The psalmist's vision of hope was a song about a king. The psalm marks the king as a leader whose work is to bring justice to the weak. The king and those who work with the king are to bring equality by a powerful intervention in a social situation of enormous inequality. Well, we don't have a king. We do elect our leaders. In theory, we vote for leaders based on the vision of hope that they offer. Do we vote for our leaders because of their vision benefits us, or because their vision brings justice to the weak. Paul's vision of hope is not distant or startling or focused on an individual. Paul's vision is communal, immediate, and practical. This is something we can wrap our minds and our arms around. This is something we practice every day here at St. John's. The Roman Church had within it factions based on perceived wealth and power. Quoting Psalms, Paul reminds the church that Christ did not act so as to please himself, but to please God. In the Greek language, to welcome also means to receive or to accept. Paul offered this simple admonition to welcome and to receive and to accept each other. He offered that advice along with this simple justification, that Christ welcomed us for the glory of God. We are not welcomed because we deserve it. All, no matter what, are welcome to be in the church. Welcoming is a large part of our vision of hope here at St. John's. But how do we carry that vision back out our open doors? Can we open more doors, not just our sanctuary doors? How can we startle others with our vision of hope? Sometimes hope is difficult to look at and hard to swallow. John the Baptist was an abrasive individual. The baptizer's message is filled with hope, but offers no peace. If John appeared today outside our Safeway or any other God-fearing, peace-loving town, he would be arrested. But despite John's repulsive appearance and unpalatable message, people flocked to hear him. Why? Perhaps they are weary of the way that their lives, perhaps they are weary of the way that they live their lives and they welcome the call for change. Perhaps they are glad to know that there really is a God who holds them accountable for their behavior. Perhaps they find reassurance from John that the world in which they live is not immoral after all, that morality cannot be reduced to a single command, thou shalt not get caught. John's vision of hope is a call to repentance, a call to personal, communal, and social change that strips us right down to our core. Yet because we are created in the likeness of and image of God, that core is good, very good. The newness that John envisions is an intrusive reality that disrupts all that is old and destructive. This vision is daring because we will not know how to act in a genuinely just community. This vision of hope is costly because we benefit from and are comfortable with the old, deadly patterns of life. This change isn't change that just sort of happens through osmosis. John tells us we must make concrete decisions to reorder our lives in ways that align with God's plan for creation. For all his antisocial behavior and bluster, did John expect us to don camel's hair, eat bugs, and be like him? No, he didn't. John pointed to Jesus of Nazareth, Emmanuel, the Messiah. In the life and ministry of Jesus, we see glimpses and glimmers of God's plan for us and for creation. We see Isaiah's peace. We see the psalmist king. We see Paul's welcome. We see hope. What does hope look like? Come, O come, Emmanuel.